The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. For this reason I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Which of you can add a single moment to his lifespan by worrying? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, but I tell you that not even Solomon in all his glory was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not clothe you even more, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For the unbelievers chase after all these things. Certainly your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
About 250 years ago, some men in Great Britain began to do experiments with machines and the manufacturing of cloth. They had come up with some clever devices that were able to spin yarn and later to weave it in a way that was much more efficient than doing it by hand, which is how it used to be done in people's homes. At first, these machines were powered by water wheels on rivers. Eventually, they would come to be powered by steam engines that used coal as fuel. With these sources of power, which, unlike humans, never got tired, these earliest factories made a lot of cloth. The factory owners got rich, and their customers were happy with the inexpensive cloth that they didn't have to make themselves. The tiresome chores of spinning and weaving became a thing of the past for the normal home. Soon the same kinds of ideas and techniques were applied to other things, farming and cotton picking, transportation, and many other pursuits. And productivity rose tremendously. This rather long process in human history, which is arguably still going on today, is known as the Industrial Revolution. The story is quite a bit longer than what I've told here. I bring it up because when we think back to life as it was a few hundred years ago, the Industrial Revolution is perhaps the main thing that makes us think that we are so different from them. They generally didn't have indoor plumbing. It took a lot longer to communicate and transport things from one place to another. Much more work went into daily chores of producing food and heating the home and doing laundry, cooking, and so on and so forth. We have a lot more stuff, and we're able to go and do many more things than they could. This is one of the ways that you can define wealth. And so you could say that we are much wealthier than they. We have a lot more food and a lot more drink. We have a lot more clothes, and they might be of better quality than Solomon's were in all his splendor. So it might be a little challenging to buy into what Jesus says in our gospel reading. He says, "Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your clothes, what you will put on." Well, we can probably check those things off the list, Who worries about what he will eat or drink? Who worries about having clothes? The fault lines in our society when it comes to resources is whether you can afford to buy fresh fruits and vegetables or whether you buy the industrialized, cheaper, processed food. Nobody's going without. For clothes, it's a matter of buying name brand versus generic. Something has to be way out of whack for any of our people to worry about food or drink or clothing. So it's very easy for our people to put this book back on the shelf and thank God that we are not like other men, like those poor pre-industrialized people. Or if we want to become more pious, we can set it off in the corner of our minds as a nice thing that we can fall back on if ever we should run into poverty. Either way, what Jesus says is not taken very seriously. He was speaking, obviously, to a different time and different place. This doesn't have much to do with us. However, not only is this not taking Jesus' words very seriously, it's also not paying very close attention. At the beginning of our reading, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and hate the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." Mammon is a Semitic word for money or wealth. There was also a Syrian god with the name of Mammon. And this is the very thing that we've been talking about today. The reason why we might look back at those poor saps who didn't have toilets is because we believe in the power of our wealth, that it blesses us. They, in contrast, were not blessed. They did not have the countenance of Mammon shining down on them like we do. So this is what Jesus is telling us today. No servant can have two masters. One of them is always going to be preferred above the other. You're going to immediately go to one or the other with your heart. Either you're going to breathe easy because you have a six-month buffer in your checking account, or you're going to be content in lifting up your eyes to our Father who art in heaven for our daily bread. If you are satisfied with lifting up your eyes to heaven, then you're going to be content whether you have wealth or not, and that's because you're going to have what you want. You have our Father who art in heaven. On the other hand, if wealth is what is preferred, then so long as you are rich, beautiful, have a good reputation, are deemed successful, and will live forever, then what need have you of God? You have what you want. The evangelists of modern Western society preach that everything has changed from the days of old. Now we have science, so Jesus' words do not apply. But again, this is simply being careless. Jesus' words strike the careful reader today just as it struck those who heard them long ago. That is not surprising, for we are not dealing with different creatures today compared to biblical times. We have the same flesh and blood as they. Our flesh fears the same things theirs did. Accordingly, just like them, we do not want to live day by day reliant upon God. We want years, decades, lifetimes of wealth stored up so that we can put up our feet and take it easy for a while. If it should happen that we don't have enough storage units to store all our stuff, then we'll tear them down and build 7 more. Then we'll be content. On the other hand, it is the stuff of nightmares to have to live like the widow in Sidon. There had been a severe drought for many years, and she had so little that she was going to feed her starving son one last time and then die. But then Elijah showed up, and according to the word of the Lord, she gave him what otherwise would have gone to her dying son. But as it turned out, her bin of flour did not go empty, nor her jug of oil go dry, before the Lord sent rain upon the earth, as the word of the Lord had said. Faith in God does not come naturally to us. Faith in money or wealth does come naturally. There is nothing in the modern world that has changed these basic facts. The people at Jesus' time believed that if they could just get ahead, they'd finally be happy and successful, so it is today too. But Jesus says to all people that you can't believe in both money and God. This is why it can be an eternal kindness when God, surprisingly, takes away our wealth. Consider how it was for the Israelites. Sure, they were slaves in Egypt, but at least they got to eat melons and garlic and other tasty foods every now and then. They knew where their next meal was going to come from, but when they were led into the Sinai Peninsula, however, they didn't know where they were going to get water. It was a desert. And finally, they ended up getting water out of a rock. They didn't know where their food was going to come from. God had to make bread rain down from heaven. People talk of living hand to mouth, but that's nothing compared to the Israelites. They couldn't even keep extra manna in their house. If they kept any leftovers, it would rot by the next morning. Every evening, there was literally nothing in the pantry for the next day. They were reliant upon daily bread, day by day. So how do you think these Israelites felt? Some of them hated it with their whole being. They thought they got schnookered by Moses. From time to time, they even tried to organize a rebellion so that they could go back to being slaves in Egypt. This, they thought, was no way to live. But there were others who had the Holy Spirit. That is to say, they had faith. Faith makes all the difference. They were content with having God as their Lord and protector. They would be content with whatever God would give them. Undoubtedly, their flesh kicked up a fuss every now and then. They were not yet perfected in their sanctification. But what they loved was that they had been called out of the darkness of not knowing God into the light, to knowing God, and believing that God would bless them even if it didn't look like He would. It is a lot better to have all your stuff taken away and to know God than to be stuffed to the gills with the good things of this world and to lose your soul. Mammon is like a narcotic. It puts people to sleep. So long as people have everything they want, it is very difficult to change their mind about anything, including God. Just keep the good times rolling. Keep the good times rolling until you slip off into the pleasant sleep of death, full of all that the good life can offer. Meanwhile, however, you've been robbed of what is most important. Life is short. The pleasantries of life are pleasant, but what good can they finally do you? When archaeologists dig up ancient graves around the world, they often find burial chambers that are full of stuff. They find gold and jewels and many other things, but as for the person, all that they find is rottenness and bones. What good did all their stuff do them? Nothing. They are here today and gone tomorrow. It has no power. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, however, will result in a blessed resurrection from the dead rather than a wretched one. It will mean that we will get what we want, life together with our God, rather than being smothered with things that rot and decay as you touch them. Instead of living with a bad conscience, being afraid of God, you are forgiven for Jesus' sake. you can look God in the eye, a tremendous thought, instead of being filled with doubt and fear and suspicion, wondering who or what is going to take your stuff, you can be filled with faith, hope, and love, not needing anything from anyone because you have what you need from your God, and if you should need anything, then God is going to give it to you. Money, technology, learning, power, wealth of every sort, none of these things are good enough. We shouldn't settle for them. This truth is so relevant even for our proud times. With industrialization and all that comes with it, you have people who brag about our supposed greatness. Just look at how far we've come, they say. Pity those poor fools of the past who didn't even have toilets. Can you imagine? Meanwhile, how are our people doing? I mean, really doing? Are they happy? The whole nation is on antidepressants. Suicide, which is Latin for murdering yourself, is going through the roof. People can't bear to live. How come? Because they don't have enough stuff? I don't think so. It's because, as Jesus says, life is more than food, and life is more than clothing. We're not a bunch of hogs who indeed are perfectly content so long as they have enough to eat and a comfortable wallow. God breathed into Adam's nostrils so that he became a living soul. We were created in God's image. We are capable of something more than all the other animals around us. We may know God, and more importantly, we have been known by God. God even joined our race, coming down from heaven and becoming incarnate in the womb of the Virgin Mary. We were always meant to walk with God and talk with God as dear children might talk with their dear father. It was a lie that threw us all off course, a lie that said we would be better blessed by believing in what had been created rather than believing in the Creator. Ever since then, it has always been easier and more natural for us to anesthetize ourselves with the narcotics of riches rather than dealing with God in fear, in repentance, and with faith. None of you are going to live forever. It doesn't matter how much wealth you have, none of your children will live forever. And when you die, you will meet God. It doesn't matter if you live in scientifically advanced times or superstitious times. It doesn't matter if you're from an industrialized nation like ours or whether you are some poor person in Africa. Death is the great equalizer because nobody can take their wealth with them. But when God asks you, what do you have to say for yourself? You may say that Jesus Christ is your Lord, who has redeemed you, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won you from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Therefore, you belong to him, and he wants you where he is. Therefore, you can't say anything good about yourself, but you can sing praise to God. In the meantime, before you make this confession before God, you may also be assured that God will continue to feed you and clothe you. Look at the birds. He feeds them. Look at the flowers. He makes them beautiful. You're worth much more than birds or flowers. You've been redeemed with the blood of God. You might not always have as much as you want, but I know that you'll always have what you need. Indeed, it could certainly be the case that God must take away what you have for your good, to keep you in the true faith. So be it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the better riches, the truly valuable wealth that comes from knowing God and being known by him. Don't be put to sleep by believing in mammon. A peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.